whatever that is.
Okay, I can see myself. We'll begin. Can I have the roll call, please?
Burt?
Here.
Hepler?
Here.
Ormsby?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty? Stoltenberg?
Here.
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the minutes from the April 19th meeting as submitted.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from the meeting on April 19th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. So good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for May 17th. We are a recommending body appointed by the City Council to review matters relative to zoning, site plans, land use, and things like that. So I see a number of you in the audience tonight. At the appropriate time, I will ask for input from the audience. And there's a podium to my right and to your left back there. And if you would give us your input from back there, tell us your name and your interest in the case, we would certainly like to hear that. So. With that, we will begin. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, our first case before us is for a rezoning and land use amendment as well as a sign consideration for CAT Clinic of the Quad Cities. You have 8th Street right here, State Street, and then the second block in from 8th and State is where that's located. Traditional residential, land use, office transitional, commercial, and heavy industrial, and R2, C5, C3, and I3 zoning in the vicinity. This is the structure right here where the petitioner has purchased that structure. As we mentioned in the report, the petitioner may not have known that this was not a permitted use within the area, but it was C5 at the time of the purchase. This is the sign that's being requested because as part of the overlay district, signage in the area is regulated, and essentially the type of sign that one can have would be a wall sign, a monument sign with a masonry base, and mainly ground signs or awning signs for this area because it's part of the Dr. Codd standing in terms of overlay. Staff in reviewing this proposal would say that the Planning and Zoning Commission should consider the surrounding land uses and zoning in evaluating this application. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, Bill, go ahead.
Greg, you did have a condition in there that if this was rezoned, it was rezoned to veterinary clinic for cats only.
That's, well, I think, the third condition.
Yes. Okay.
Feline.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I hope that's clear what that is in the future. So, yeah.
And so is there is the other condition that says no kennels permitted on site? Does that mean there's no, like, overnight boarding? Is that what the condition is?
If there's no kennels, what that means is, yes, no overnight boarding.
Okay. Unless they're running loose.
It's not my problem.
Anne, did you have a question, too?
Yes, Greg, I have a question about the sign.
Mm-hmm.
There's specific height information in the Dr. Codd info that you gave us, but I wasn't. What is the height of this proposed sign? Is it in compliance?
The design is not, because you would have to have a masonry base, and,
right,
and the sign would have to be brought down to wherever that base is, and it's a 4x8 sign with, as it says, 4 feet. 4 feet for the post, and the type of illumination that would be permitted would be backlit, but this sign does not conform to the standard, because what we would probably see is more of a base, and then the sign would be brought down to mm-hmm. connect to that base.
Okay. So we're being asked to approve the sign, but the sign is not in compliance.
That's correct.
Okay.
And
So if you took that sign and just, I'll say, cut the legs off and brought it down to the ground, is that in compliance, or does it have to have a different type of base?
The base actually has to, I think it elicits in the code the condition that the...
A monument base.
Have a base to it.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, Mr. Chairman, if they bring it down to the ground and there's no area underneath it, if it's elevated off the ground, it needs some sort of a masonry or stone-type base under it.
I agree, because the code's pretty clear that it needs to be a monument type in the definition under there. Says that. And then, Craig, go back to the picture, too, because it looks like, is that an existing pole sign on the Sitgott County? Yeah, right there. It looked like there was a pole sitting there, and then what looked like the then current attempt for the sign up against the building there. Is that pole an existing sign?
I don't know that it was for an existing sign. I don't know that it still is. The structure here has sat vacant, so we would consider potentially that it is an abandoned sign.
Okay. So we've got the sign matter and the zoning matter. That's two. What's the third then?
The land use amendment.
So were you done with your question?
You keep going because you're headed where I was headed.
Okay, so I'm looking at the entire block appears to be C5. We've got C3 across the street. I got R2 behind. I got on Google Earth earlier today and looked at the alley. There's quite a bit of parking and things that buffers. But are we approaching any kind of a spot zone when we've got the entire block and we just do one lot?
Well, that's something, again, I think our legal counsel can chime in on that, but I think usually it almost takes a court determination to call something spot zoning.
Obviously, and whenever a claim of spot zoning arises, you're considering the impact on the neighboring properties and whether there's a decrease in property value as a result of basically an incompatible use with neighboring uses. So the question for the commission is, with the conditions included, you know, is it a compatible use? You do have the same zoning district across the street, so as long as there's a, I think if in your feeling that it's compatible to the district, I think that would be a challenging argument to raise.
And I guess
Mr. Chairman, for me.
Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
The veterinary clinic in the downtown has been problematic in the past. We've had at least one other instance where somebody has opened a vet clinic in something other than a C3 district, and we had to come through and do this. This has been many years ago. Part of the reason why I'm not a real big fan of Euclidean zoning, because it takes uses and clumps them into certain areas and doesn't allow the flexibility. My opinion is the conditional zoning on this would meet the intent of the ordinance, in that if it was somebody that just operated on aquarium fish, it would be the same thing. The external components aren't going to affect the neighbors, like maybe a clinic where you have dogs and kennels and those types of things. So,
and that makes sense, Bill. And to the earlier questioner comment, or just directionally, I guess, if we're restricting to that, how do we don't want to check every day if there's only cats in the place. How do you effectively manage that, to monitor it? How do you do that?
We have a lot of different ways to do it. A new business comes in, they'll want a new sign. Matter of fact, that's how this came to our attention to begin with, was somebody came in for a sign permit prior to us even knowing that the property had been purchased. We also, if something moves in that's I guess a nuisance to the neighbors, they let us know. So sometimes we react instead of be proactive, but there are always ways that we find out about these things.
And the likelihood of this being further developed because of the change in zoning, given a narrow lot, any issues that we got there now that we've, say, burns down and now we've got a different zoning and it looks like a pretty narrow lot?
Well, the conditional zoning is going to restrict it to
whatever it
if
was.
If it's a veterinary clinic, it's going to be for cats only. If it is not used as that, then it reverts back to the previous zoning.
Okay. Other questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? No? Come back to the, yes, ma'am. Doctor, could I get you to go back to the mic so we pick you up on the record, please? Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Got you now. Great, thanks.
I'm Dr. Lisa Kuhlman. I'm the person who bought this building not knowing that it was not properly zoned. My realtor knew perfectly well that I needed a commercially zoned building, and this was what I was shown, and it worked for my needs, and we moved right along. And 2 weeks after the renovations began, I was informed of this zoning problem. I can't tell you how I felt.
I can imagine.
I was standing in K&K Hardware making a purchase, and I almost dropped the phone. At any rate, I will tell you, I've been in practice on Utica Ridge Road in Davenport at Cat Clinic of the Quad Cities for 15 years in March. March 13th was my 15 years there. My lease was up. This was somewhat of a financial move. Realistically, that's how it all started. But I have actually been pretty happy with that location and really excited about this move until all of this kind of came up. I will tell you, in the 15 years that I've been on Utica Ridge Road, I have had three dogs in my clinic. One was a neighbor's dog who came to me, and the dog had horrible, painful ears, and I brought him in on a weekend, off hours, to take care of the dog's ears. One was a charity case, a large, benign, fortunately, tumor on a dog. They couldn't afford to have it removed. It was bleeding. It was problematic. It's kind of a long story. They, at the time, owned a glass shop. They were going to make me some stained glass, something to put up in my clinic in return for the service. I took care of the dog, and then they closed their shop. And that was okay. I enjoyed taking care of the dog, and it was a benign tumor, and the dog lived happily ever after. I'm trying to remember the third dog, actually. I know there were three, but I don't remember the third. I don't see dogs. I have a little bit of a concern about your discussion about kennels. I do not board as a rule. Once in a while, I will board a patient if they need medication, if they, you know, it's a short stay or something like that. But I do hospitalize overnight occasionally. That's never been a problem. I don't expect it would be a problem. It doesn't happen very often, because if the patient is not stable, then I recommend they go down to the emergency clinic at the other end of State Street. but I do, I have to be able to practice and potentially keep patients overnight. But again, it doesn't happen very often. I try and get cats home because they really don't like to be in the hospital. They do better at home, so that's always my goal.
And can I put you a pause there for a minute and just ask a clarifying question then? Can we reference no boarding kennels, perhaps, or something that clarifies it?
And that was the intent of what the condition was going to be.
Okay. I think we have a way around that.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. So
That's really all I had to say, but I'm happy to answer questions, or if you have other concerns, I'm happy to try and address them.
Relative to the sign, so somebody drew the sign up for you,
mm-hmm.
Allen Sign Company.
Mm-hmm.
Were they familiar with the requirements of the sign ordinance for this zone when they drew up that sign for you?
Yes, and we discussed the masonry, and honestly, things got so truncated along the way with this, we haven't been able to proceed on any of this, so we've kind of just decided to wait for this meeting and see if it'll be approved. My plan, I will tell you, is I had a landscaping company remove sod and put mulch all around this area. Now I have to do a little change to that because we had to move the location just a little bit. But my plan was to landscape beneath the sign and make it look very attractive. I plan to use native daisies and, you know, it's going to look nice. I do a lot of my own landscaping, and
okay.
I take a lot of pride in that. So it definitely will not look shabby at all. And if even if you drive by now, I think it looks better even just with some of that sod removed and a nice area of mulch.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Do you have any other questions on the sign?
I would just say that the sign as it exists right now, the design of the sign, the height of the sign is not in compliance. So it's a very attractive sign, but it needs to come down to the ground and fulfill the requirements of a monument sign, which is not now.
The reason, originally I was planning to do a monument sign, quite honestly, I can't afford it. It was about $3,000 or $4,000 more, and right now my budget is zip, I'm afraid. I mean, I haven't been able to work. My old clinic is no longer, and this place is not completed, and so money is a concern right now. Mm-hmm. And this was attractive and yet affordable, and that's why we settled on this. Would it be possible to lower the stakes and still have it this basic design, but just on shorter columns or poles?
Could you stack stone underneath it?
Yes, I think so. Or brick, even. I mean, my original, what I went to the sign company with initially, and this is the second sign company that I've started with because they were more affordable and more flexible. But I was originally thinking of making those columns brick to match the brick on the house.
Yeah, I see you've got some stone in the landscape. If you just mm-hmm. pull the sign down a little bit, stacked a couple horses high of stone.
I think it, where Bill's going might be a very economical solution. What we can't do is change each small part of the sign to comply with the overall ordinance, because then we'd be having 1,000 different signs out there. So our goal is to stick with the sign ordinance as we've got it. But I think in an accommodating way, if you built even with retaining masonry blocks up to the base of the sign, it's got the look and the feel of monument masonry at a very, very affordable cost, I would think, and still meets our spirit. Is that okay, Bill?
I
think we're...
I would accept that.
Yeah, okay. That might be an easy alternative. Yes, ma'am.
One of the designs that they came up with initially, incorporating the same sign, but was just putting a brick column around the base of each of those posts.
I think the issue is getting away from the post pole type sign. The code references monuments, so that would be like we've got definitions that are back in there we can pull out.
Yeah, and it basically says a sign placed directly on the ground, the allowed height. So I think it just needs to come down a little lower.
If there's brick, so you want a continuous wall of brick underneath this
right.
thing, not just posts of brick.
Right.
How tall off the ground does that need to be? In other words, how high can the sign be on top of the brick?
I need some guidance from staff because we don't usually deal with signs in our...
Guessing where the setback is of this sign, it could be as high as 20 foot.
Yeah.
Keeping in mind that the higher you go with the sign, the more you have to do underneath it.
Well, and I would, I probably for financial reasons would lower it, but I certainly would rather it not be right on the grass, because I don't think it's going to be all that visible. That land is a little bit hilly.
I think what was suggested is leave it a couple of foot off the ground, maybe 2.5 foot, stack two layers of stone up underneath the sign mm-hmm. so it looks like it's part of a monument. And I think you're probably getting an affirmative vote tonight.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. It needs to look like a monument sign, even if it's put together in pieces, because the ordinance requires a monument sign, and the height of it sounds like a couple of feet or so would still give you, and there's no dimensions on the sign itself, so I don't know if it starts, is it
I believe it
or?
Is 4 by 8.
4 by 8, okay, I saw that. 4
and
by
the
eight
posts, I think that
says the phone number font, oh wait, that's three, nope.
Not on line, so down below, I see it now, okay, sorry about that. Let's say a couple of feet off the ground with the masonry blocks around it or something masonry, and 4 feet of sign, you're 6 feet up in the air. That's pretty, seems like it's pretty visible.
I don't even
ever
think,
works for you,
I don't think
it's
that tall now. I mean, I does it have, I don't have it in front of me, does it have the post height on that description?
It doesn't, no.
Okay.
So can we approve it subject to a definition or a specification of a sign then?
Yeah.
So let me propose this then. I would ask for a motion from the commission, and we'll make a motion and see if it passes, and then see if that can meet your objectives, and if not, we'd have to go through another iteration of this with another alternative.
I hope we can avoid that.
I hope so, too.
I'm already a couple months past when
yep.
I was hoping to get
I hear
out.
You, and we're trying to work with you here within
sure.
the constraints we have. So anyone else in the audience with regard to this case? Back to the commission, then.
Well, we have three different issues here, three different case numbers. I'll start with the land use and propose that we approve case 17-038, subject to staff recommendations for the land use change.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-038, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Land use is approved.
All right, so moving forward, we'll look at the rezoning from C5 to C3, case number 17-039, subject to staff recommendations.
May I add,
with the
change in the
boarding,
wording on the boarding.
On boarding, yeah.
No boarding kennels.
Right.
Okay. I will second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-039, subject to staff recommendations with the further clarification of no boarding kennels. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, 17-039 is approved. You're on a roll, Ann.
Okay, so finally, case 17-040 is for the approval of a sign, and I would move for approval as long as the sign is in compliance with the Dr. Codd performance standards and has the appearance of a monument sign. Are we good with that? Do we need any more, Bill?
No, I'm good with that.
Okay.
And I will second that also.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-040, subject to staff recommendations and the provision that it complies with the Dr. Codd provisions for monument sign. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Same sign. We have an approval. Now you can work with Bill to meet the spirit of the code.
Great.
Okay. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the next cases that we have before us involve land use amendments as well as rezonings. Mill Road right here feeds into the AAA office park area. This has been divided three different times essentially. The petitioner wants to take this lot, has the permission of the owner of that business, and wants to take this lot and this one and make them into C2 zoning for commercial purposes. This lot here, the diamond shaped one, lot 4, is intended to go from C5 to R5. So what you're changing is the land use from office transitional to high density residential for this lot. Remaining lots, you're changing that land use from office transitional to commercial. This is the second plat showing the actual layout of pretty much the entire subdivision. And then these two lots were platted into the third. But this will be the residential lot these two lots here are essentially the commercial lots. And then this is the third addition where lots one and two, the former eight and nine of the second addition, have been combined, or I should say placed into one subdivision. The designs as laid out indicate a strip mall here, retail here, and then retail here with townhouse arrangements in this area here for the residential. That's one design. Another potential design that might be considered is a convenience store, essentially, that could be affiliated with Hy-Vee, and then the retail here, and then the retail remains as it is here. Just to bring your attention, there is a restriction listed here in point number 7 about this lot having direct access to Middle Road. And now, as you'll note, we have this design here. The other things relating to site development plan issues, special use permit in the future for this, if it does in fact come about, and then of course all the other zoning requirements related to density and setbacks for all of these designs will have to be met. You'll have the chance to review these in the future when they come forward to you in the form of a site development plan. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
I just want to clarify, Greg, you talked about access to Middle Road, and that was in the report. So are you saying there is going to be a right-in, right-out only, or that, there is not?
That cannot be permitted.
Okay.
If you read...
That's the way I read
here,
the report.
Yeah.
We got a problem with that.
Okay. So even though it shows on this concept, that is not going to be part of it.
That would be something that could be overridden with an amendment, or I should say a replatting of this lot, to take it out from under that requirement. And again, it's something that our city engineer and public works department would have to determine, given the opening here, the signaled access here, and then this being here. So it's something that, even though it's shown here, I want to make you aware of it, it's at this time not permitted.
And it's not part of what we're discussing at this time?
No, this will be a site development plan and or platting issue in the future.
Okay, so since we're talking about access, there's a comment in the report about, I have it here, future access along that western, eastern boundary. No, I'm pointing.
That's one of them that
on
we also
where the
have to
potential get. Convenience store. Yes, those. So that it gives the impression that that could happen in the future.
The access points are all the same if you look at the design that has the retail or this. But yes, if they petition the Board of Adjustment and are able to obtain the special use permit for this facility under C2 zoning, then they could obtain that status and then bring forward that plan to this body.
So I guess my question is, it says access may be permitted in the future with the adjoining development if adjoining property owners permit. I don't see how any of this can be a viable project without that. I understand that we don't have that now. So just talk to me a little bit more about that.
Well, it's going to depend on the ownership of both these properties, and if Hy-Vee, which I believe the parent company that owns this entire mall area, would be the one that would grant that permission for this access, so that Hy-Vee might allow its customers to come here and redeem certain points or whatever they have from buying groceries, and then also allowing this area to be accessed through this property as well from Middle Road.
Right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Bill.
I do know that there have been many discussions between the Geifmans and the developer of this property. They'd like to do some sort of a cooperative effort here. I don't believe Hy-Vee owns the property outside of the footprint of their parking lot. The rest of that is owned by the Geifman family. We have encouraged through this process of let's have good access between the Glen and the signalized intersection at AAA Court. We've all experienced maybe some of the congestion and some of the access points for Hy-Vee, and this might relieve some of that. So there have been discussions. The gas station is one concept. It was something that was discussed between the Geifmans and the developer. We won't know what's really going to happen there until somebody comes forward with a site development plan proposal.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's another opportunity there. I know just driving it frequently, coming in off of Middle Road and heading north there by where the old Made Right was, or that corner, that building behind the subway, right a little farther south, Greg, it pinches.
Yep.
Right there, that's yeah. It. There's a real pinch point there. That's a fender bender for sure. That'd be one to keep in the sights for straightening out. Other questions from the commission?
Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate that, having three separate accesses there, that middle one where you had the pink line where he's talking about it pinching, that's a recipe for disaster right there.
There's not really even room to turn out of there without turning into the other lane. That's extremely tight.
I'm thinking
shift
Duck
it over
Creek Plaza. I mean, that's
yeah.
What I think about. And
so this is the concept, but these are things that we just to put out on the table that everybody deals with.
Tonight.
But everybody deals with them every day, and they're not pleasant. So, other questions from the commission or comments? Anyone in the audience?
I just would say I think it's a great infill project. It's a great location. I certainly want to support the development. I just want to see it go forward in a way that is best for everybody that uses that area.
Yep. I like the idea too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone in the audience with regard to this case for particular input? Yes, ma'am.
Hi there, my name is Carly Kerschneider, and I am a registered nurse and mother living in Bettendorf. And my concern with this rezoning is kind of more long-term in the, one reason I love living in Bettendorf is that these main roads, it's very quick and easy for the most part to get from point A to point B. I live just south of, on Devil's Glen, the south of the intersection of Middle Road and Devil's Glen. So I drive past this area all the time. And I love that there's a golf course on one side because then there's not a lot of access in business and people turning in and out. And also, while walking with my daughter to go to the library, we actually use that thinner sidewalk on the north side of Middle Road because it has access to Tech Drive, which is a shortcut to the library, and there is no light there, so there really isn't an opportunity for crossing the street if I was to use the larger sidewalk. And so increased business traffic in that particular area would concern me. I would hope that in development of the area there would be at least maybe routed through the AAA court light or something like that so that it isn't maybe quite as dangerous for people walking, and then also just to hopefully reduce the amount of congestion that could occur from having so many new businesses in that area.
Yep, good comments. And I think that's one of the goals that we were just talking about was by opening it up, Carly, we have an opportunity to maybe take some of the volume off the unsignalized intersection there where it is hard to get in and out in traffic versus some of it flowing over to the light, which would help even with more development reduce the traffic coming in that one entrance. Yep. Thank you. Anyone else? None? Come back to the commission.
Well, we have two issues to look at, land use and rezoning. And I will make a motion for case 17-054, the land use proposal, for approval subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17054, land use subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17054 is approved.
I'll also move for approval of case 17047, rezoning from C5 to C2, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17047, rezoning, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17047 is approved.
And we have a different parcel for case number 17055, which is a land use amendment for the residential area. So we're going from office transitional to high density residential. I'll move for approval of that as well, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17055, land use amendment relative to the transition office transitional to high density residential. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17055 is approved.
And then finally, 17053, which is the same parcel, rezoning from C5 to R5, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 17053, rezoning from C5 to R5. Subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17053 is approved.
Great. Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case before us is the Woodlands First Edition. The petitioner recently acquired a small piece of ground in this area near Crow Creek Road to enable full access into this area, and that facilitated the development for pretty much this area right here that's shown on the preliminary plat. That access was acquired. Now you have a full width here for right-of-way that may come up here, and that'll allow this area to be accessed throughout up to this point here where there is a detention basin. Part of what also was agreed upon was that there would be a means of stormwater connection and sanitary sewer connection to this parcel that we've been talking about for the last couple of months, so that there might be a direction of connection for the stormwater to this outlot and then for sanitary to finally make its way down through at least some direction through the subdivision into Wyndham West. We did not want to see especially any more stormwater evacuating this lot and then going across Middle Road and then impacting an area that has been known to have stormwater issues. Staff, in looking at this proposal for the final plat of the Woodlands First Edition, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions or comments from the commission, please. Greg, attachment B as in boy. Down in the notes, it makes reference on 14, land to be negotiated for future right-of-way. What is that referencing?
That was this piece right here, I believe.
That was that piece?
Yeah, the adjoining property owner. And that's been done.
So that comes off the what would be the final plat then that we?
That would be, it's already acknowledged right here. There's a boundary that runs.
Okay.
Greg, can you show us where the 8-foot wide recreational trail will be?
That's going to be out in right this here. Area here.
Okay.
Is Middle Road going to be expanded there or is it going to stay two lanes?
It is the responsibility of the adjoining property owners to add the lane on their side of the property.
I don't know if there's been a discussion as to the timing of that.
No, especially given the McNamara project that Greg discussed, we would try to time those concurrently. So if Windmiller's starts yet this year and McNamara's is not proceeding, we may hold that construction, have them bond for it until we can do it all at once, so we don't end up with a piece together section kind of like we have on 53rd right now.
Then how about from there up to the roundabout? Would that just remain two lanes then?
Yeah, that would have to wait until that parcel develops.
Okay. Any other questions or comments from the commission? Nope. Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay, come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 16-031, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 16031, final plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 16031 is approved. Okay, Greg?
Mr. Chairman, the next case before us entails the Newberry development, and that is for the apartment complex. It is a final plat for this area here, south of State Street, 1500 block of State, and the removal of these structures here, the twin bridges, and then replacing it with what is anticipated to be two buildings that would be apartment structures with parking on the ground level and potentially a restaurant on the ground level. The platting shows essentially this rectangular shape entailing all of the area to be encompassed. There will be an abandonment to some extent, I should say, or a by the city of right-of-way that will become part of this development, so that you will have Gilbert and 15th Street being ceded to the ownership. Essentially, we've got two buildings that are proposed for the site, multi-story, means of entry coming in off of State for both areas, and then stationed around here parking, and we've already addressed the parking ordinance to some extent. We've already gone through that, so we also have parking staged in this area to help meet the needs here. And again, other things will be developing in this area. This is more of an enhanced view of that. The utilities facilitate the development in the area. There's a great deal of stormwater and sanitary sewer connection to make the structures possible. And also, the petitioner met the requirements for the land use landscaping for the site. As things occur, there is an opportunity maybe for other land surrounding maybe to be acquired when the bridge becomes developed, and then there may be remnants here that would also help alleviate to some extent the parking, but there will be other developments in the area too that might assist in that. The view essentially shows the building here that will be removed, the structures. This is the oncoming bridge right running through here. You're looking directly to the east, and this shows from the west side fire station here, and then the twin bridges right here to be removed. There has also been acquisition here on this block by a developer to potentially start something in this area, and as you can see, there are multiple projects that might be coming at a pretty fair clip for this entire two-block area. This is what the elevations will look like for the structure, with, again, I said restaurant parking underneath, and then staged in here. Under C2 zoning, you can have a commercial use on the ground floor or parking, and then have above it residences. And this gives you the idea of the elevation as to how this would look if you were looking, I believe, here's along State Street, and looking at the structure from looking toward the southeast. Staff, in reviewing the proposal presented by the petitioner, would recommend approval with the conditions listed in the reports. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions or comments from the commission? I'm sorry, Decker.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I think I'd like to give a little context to the commissioners that might help understand the parking dilemma that we have. This is the number one project goal for the City Council for the last 2 years, was that an acquisition of the Twin Bridges would take place, and Mr. Levy and his group are stepping forward to, we think, take that task on. And as part of that development, the council saw that there was going to be really two other key developments in the downtown on the east side of I-74. This area being one, and the other one being Town Square that we own. So Greg, I don't know if you can put a slide back up that shows the properties across the street. But the properties across the street, if you could put a line on it, Greg, that whole block, we are in the midst of discussions with property owners and developer and ourselves. Currently, we have two buildings that have been acquired. We're in negotiations on two others, and there are three more left. It's my opinion that within the year, and I think it's possible perhaps by the end of this calendar year, that all those could be under the control of us to be able to acquire and redevelop that whole area across the street. In doing that, and where Greg's got the circle, to the west of that are going to be a couple remnant parcels that I don't believe will be buildable. Certainly the one next to the bridge where old Bill Glenn Park was, there'll be a remnant piece there that we had before and we're likely to gain. Those two areas present opportunities for public parking. It is the our desire at staff level and senior staff level, talking with council, we believe our responsibility to make sure that there's adequate public parking conceived and brought as part of that development across the street that would assist with this parking issue. And in the transition of the two zoning arenas that we're in, it currently doesn't meet our current zoning, but as you know, we talked about the transition to the new zoning ordinance that would give the council more flexibility in that parking alignment or in that parking evaluation. And we don't want to do this any other place but in the downtown, because we've got these two significant redevelopment areas. And we know in both of those development areas, we're going to have to be involved in the public parking, either financing or public parking construction, either in the form of lots or ramps that help make all this work if we're going to allow all this density to occur. So I wanted to give you a little bit of that context and tell you that I think if you're going to not approve this under the current zoning ordinance, because the parking is less, the council then would be, by the two-thirds majority, would have to overrule by a two-thirds majority. They may consider doing that. But I think what we talked about more significantly in our meetings in the zoning with the new ordinance was to perhaps create some sort of ability for you to approve this conditionally on the council adopting the new zoning ordinance that then takes into consideration the new parking requirements in the downtown that gives us more latitude to be able to accomplish this. So I just wanted to give you the context of what's likely to happen in terms of our participation in acquisitions and development across the street and our desire to make sure that there's adequate parking that will cover this development and future development across the street as we go about making that happen. And obviously, we're all in a state of flux with the bridge, so the next 3 years, it's going to be kind of a hodgepodge, but I think we're going to be able to work our way through that. Christine and I had a conversation this afternoon about some possible language that would help you see through that transition, if you will. But I just wanted to give you that context from our strategy perspective from the council as we worked our way through this property and this development that we've now incented pretty strongly and want to have happen, that we make sure that we protect the parking that I think you're very much concerned about. And I can assure you that we're going to do that.
Well, appreciate that extra insight, Decker, because the parking gap that we've seen is an issue from our perspective, looking at what the current code requires and what the site plan delivers, but also recognizing there's a great need to get rid of the twin bridges and start moving with improvement downtown. I think the key word you used in there was adequate, and from at least my perspective, and I'm going to open up to the rest of the commission as well, that's the key to your development downtown, is having adequate parking. If it's easy for people to use and to come down here, they will. If it's not, they won't. And obviously, if you're going to put that kind of commitment into the property, you need adequate parking so people will come and use it.
And I would just say that the council is very, these two pyramids of downtown development are going to be the focal point for us for the next 5 years easily while we're working our way through this whole bridge process. But we very much want to make sure that it has the flair we want it to have and the ease of accessibility that we want it to have. And that includes not only walking and biking accessibility, but it creates parking accessibility. So we got to make sure that happens. And I think we're committed to making that happen.
Yeah, great. Thanks for the input. Christine, did you want to touch at all on the language concept then?
Sure. So approval of both the final plat and the site development plan are a bit conditional by the commission. The final plat obviously is conditioned on the city vacating the right-of-way to the landowner. That process has already started. We've set a public hearing for June 6th to get that accomplished. And our vacation of the right-of-way is contingent upon them successfully acquiring the property, which they're supposed to be closing on in June. So a lot of things are happening here this next month. But so the final plat approval would obviously require the vacation of the right-of-way from the city. The site development plan, because of the shortfall in the parking requirement, that approval by the commission or recommendation by the commission would also be essentially contingent upon the city council approving the reduced parking standard ordinance, which Bill presented to you all last month. So they would have to pass that ordinance to be able to have the discretion to reduce the parking standard. So assuming those things happen, then your approvals would be effective.
Okay. Questions or comments from the commission with the additional information?
I do. Decker, you mentioned that there were two different parts to this. One being, I think, what we have here in front of us with the residential. Was the second part to be commercial or some kind of business front?
The second development hasn't been decided upon yet because we don't have all of the properties acquired and to set a development plan in place when we don't have all that done. It's kind of premature. But I think in our desire, I think we wanted to complement this with commercial and residential, if that's possible, probably both vertical. So it's likely to have a similar feel, but probably a more of an accent on the commercial piece, restaurant, bars, with residential above it is kind of the desire. That's what we've been aiming for in this entire area and would complement this development. So
I agree fully. I've seen a very similar kind of layout and building plan in Iowa City that's been very effective in their area there, but would definitely be essential when you're putting in more of the business fronts to have the parking available, like you said, for people to be willing to go into that area and try to deal with. And, you know, any, it seems like to be the most common issue in any downtown area is, where are you going to park on a Friday night? So I'm glad that we are moving forward with some kind of plan on the parking issue. I think it'll look real great down there. Bettendorf doesn't have a whole lot of downtown at the moment.
So. Questions or comments?
I would just comment based upon what I've heard from Decker, what I've heard from Christine. I think in the site development phase of this, for us to be able to put this out for our consideration, contingent on the council approving the temporary parking ordinance, I think it's, I see it as our way of saying we trust that as this moves forward, the council, staff, they're all going to make this work so that there's a way for people to park downtown. If we're going to, if we're working with a partner to put a building up where people are going to live, then we have to figure out a place for them to park. And typically, we're at a pretty finite level when we look at these things, and those are all part of the questions that we ask. We want to see the very definite plans. This is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime type of project that's going to anchor the development, and I'm happy to trust that the people who are working on it after it leaves here are going to make sure that the parking works. And the whole building isn't going to be developed at the same time. Isn't that correct? We're going to do one apartment building and then the second.
That's correct.
So the full impact of the parking won't happen at the onset. So hopefully by the time we get there, things will clear up a little bit. Pieces of that puzzle, all those pieces will maybe be a little more clear.
And are both buildings scheduled to have basement or underground parking? They both are.
They are.
Okay, because I saw it noted on one building but not the other.
So, Greg, in your presentation, I heard the word restaurant, or maybe that was in Decker's comments. The first building that goes up, will that have restaurant and residential?
In my discussion with the architect today, that restaurant is going to be office space, so that's not going to be a restaurant.
Okay.
It was a previous label on the site development plan.
Okay. That has a big impact on parking and
for sure.
That kind of, my ears perked up when I heard that.
You heard it from me for the other side of the street.
Okay. All right. My mistake. Thank you.
I think with all the construction going on down there, I'd love to put a sandwich shop in there right away.
Or a food truck.
Yeah.
It's going in the parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Greg, on the overhead that you showed us, the site plan, I think go back one there, right? No, one more. Yes. So there's diagonal parking on the south side.
North side.
North side. Yeah, right there. Is there going to be parking on the other side of the street now?
I don't.
I mean, I know that's the whole area that you're looking at, Decker, but is that potential parking for this building?
Well, for the on the street side itself, there will be both sides, yeah. And we could, frankly, because the street is no longer going to be a through street,
right?
Really, in either direction, we could make that angled parking as well, and I think that's the plan.
Okay.
So both sides of State Street there will have angled parking.
So even though that's not part of what we're considering tonight, that is going to be additional parking that would be available.
That's correct.
There. Okay.
And just to clarify, in addition to that, as we go about the development of the other side and the remnant properties, we're going to ensure in that there's adequate public parking that will adequately serve both sides of the street.
Others in the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope.
And I just wanted to clarify one thing so that Mr. Levy hears this, because I'm not sure he's heard it. I think our recommendation is to go go away from that five-year period and leave this entirely up to the council and its and the new ordinance. So that five-year period that we had the discussion about at the last meeting, that's not no longer part of the equation.
There's not a sunset provision in this. It would be, this is what it is.
Correct.
Subject to the council.
Correct.
Determination.
Correct.
And with defined parameters of the boundaries of it then?
I think I haven't talked to Bill directly about this, but I think in our opinion, this is really part of the downtown overlay district, isn't the Bill?
That's correct.
It's the only where we contemplate it. So we'd be fine if it's in the downtown overlay district.
Okay.
Yeah. So just make sure I understand. The temporary parking ordinance that we discussed.
Right. As it was presented last month, it had a five-year,
right,
basically sunset period in it that said that the property owner would have to comply with our parking standards at the end of the five-year period.
Mm-hmm.
I think as it goes, it has not gone to council yet for their approval, but that was the commission recommended approval based on that ordinance. In light of the discussions that have happened subsequent to that, staff, I believe, is going to be recommending that it no longer have the five-year sunset, that council and Planning and Zoning Commission have the ability to grant permanent reductions of the parking standard with those points identified that they have to, show user safety, the required number of ADA stalls, adequate drainage, all those other factors would remain. It would just be a permanent reduction that you would have the ability to grant.
So your suggestion was that we look at the site development plan for approval contingent upon the council approving the temporary parking ordinance, but it would be without the five-year.
That's correct.
Part. Okay.
So that that provision is gone.
And the recommendation that we made last month was that those requests for temporary parking mm-hmm. approval still flow through plan and zone up to council.
Yes.
Okay.
And that the process would still be the same. Okay. It would just be that mandatory five-year sunset would be taken out.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I may have a few good years left in me, and I promise to be diligent to make sure that everybody understands that we need to provide public parking in the downtown as we start some of these adjoining developments.
Yeah, really, it's in everyone's interest in the city to make it work, and it's a recipe for failure if it doesn't. I had mentioned before, I think, Bill, in conversation, I used to live in Naperville, Illinois, which is a premier city in Illinois, and they have an amazing downtown. And people, and there's like 150,000 people that live there, and they all like to go downtown. There's a Riverwalk, there's tons of restaurants, but it's only successful because there is a very large parking ramp, which is always full. Absent that, it'd be a disaster, you know. So it's the only way you're going to make it work, in my opinion. Absent that, you're going to fail. So,
and contrary to Bill, I have a couple bad years left in me. So,
well, actually, this
is they'll balance out.
That's right.
I work for Bridgestone, so we can't have good years. We only have great years. So, okay, that's a little tire joke for you guys. So,
yeah. Wow. We thought you could weave a tire joke in.
Yeah, really. I've got more.
They set you up for that. Right?
Yeah. All right. So, anyone in the audience? No. Back to the commission then.
I did have one quick question.
Yep.
With the implementation of the new zoning ordinance, do you know what that changes the amount of parking to? Like, is it from the Euclidean that we're using now moving into that, does it change a certain amount per person of parking?
It's totally subject to your and city council review. So you could reduce it 50%, you could reduce it 100%. You have the discretion to reduce it as you see fit, only in the downtown. But I think staff would obviously make recommendations as projects come forward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, did you have a comment? Nope.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Back to the commission then.
I'm not sure if Mr. Levy has any comment. I wasn't sure. I just want to make sure he understood everything. We're good? Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and And move that we approve case number 17014, subject to the staff recommendations and the other items that have been discussed.
Generally, the provision that it would be subject to plan and zone commission and city council approval for final parking requirements and provisions.
Correct.
Correct.
And if I could correct a statement real quick, Janessa, the ordinance does say 50%, so it could not go below 50%. So
thank you for clarifying.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17014, subject to staff recommendations and clarifications and conditions regarding the new amended ordinance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17014 is approved. Okay.
Right on down.
Got one more.
I move that we approve case number 17-015, subject to the staff recommendations and the same other qualifications.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-015, subject to the staff recommendations and other discussions relative to plan and zone and city council and the new ordinance. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-015 is approved.
Pretty exciting project.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great to see.
What are the police going to do when they don't have to go to Twin Bridges anymore?
Very
happy. I bet they will. Okay. Greg, get your car and drive.
Mr. Chairman, the next two cases involve Fountains, what we call the Fountains 8th Edition and Development Plan, and essentially it's this area right here that is under consideration. The zoning is already has been in process, and the 7th edition, this has already been approved along with this portion of the area that is zone PR3. The petitioner is wanting to take the 7th edition and taking the entirety of all these lots here and then combining them into the 8th edition. The idea was to essentially take the 6 lots that were listed on this side in the 7th edition and turn them into 7 lots. The idea was to take the lot widths and reduce them to about 66 feet for each one of these parcels, and then reduce the square footage to about 8,200 square feet, and then have a side yard setback of 5 feet so that there'd be a total of 10 feet separation between each of these units, which are going to be half of a duplex unit. Essentially, it's a detached type single family structure. The development plan shows the way in which the structures will be laid out on the 7 lots, and indicates also the infrastructure that's necessary for the site. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions or comments from the commission? None? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we approve case number 17-027, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-027, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17027 is approved. 17028.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we would approve case 17-028, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second that also.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17028, development plan, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17028 is approved. Okay, Greg?
The next three cases deal with the Betplex project. It's a preliminary plat, site plan, and a final plat that are under review. Here you have Middle Road coming up, Interstate 80, and then Forest Grove Drive, all pretty much encompassing this area of 120 acres that's anticipated for the Betplex. This is a view looking north of Forest Grove Drive and directly toward the west. The view here looks toward the north and west at the intersection of Forest Grove and Middle Road. And then this view here looks from the southwest corner looking back up at the site. The preliminary plat shows the layout, the building here, pretty much the main structure, which is part of Lot 1. This is the rough outline of Lot 1. The remaining lots that are on here are either for, in this case, stormwater detention or all commercial throughout this area.
Craig, roughly, just pause you for a second. How many square feet is that building shown? It's too small for me to see any.
I can't recall what the amount was. I wanted to say 50,000 something, but I don't know if that's.
Which building, Greg?
The main total? Building.
The main building.
About 240,000.
Okay.
240,000. Okay. Okay, thanks. Sorry. Proceed if you would.
This is the outline of the lot that principally the Betplex structure will be placed on, and then again the remaining lots set up again for commercial development. And this is the site plan showing Lot 1 essentially, and in its confines the recreational areas here, the structure itself with the restaurant, and then indoor facilities for sports competition, and then the ball diamond areas throughout, volleyball court, I believe, and then soccer fields. This will give you an idea of what the structure of the Betplex will look like. And the landscape plan was met and I believe exceeded for this area here. And we will evaluate all these other projects as they come in individually. For now, this is what we are determining in terms of the site plan. The other area, though, for final plat and preliminary encompasses the entirety of all the lots. Staff, in reviewing this proposal, recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions or comments from the commission?
Can you just clarify again, Greg, on this map? What's the area that we're discussing tonight? Lot, which is Lot 1?
This is just, yeah, this is it right here.
Okay. So it's the...
Discussing everything in its entirety for the platting, the site development plan is just for the large lot.
For the Lot 1.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bill.
And then, Greg, below that, at the bottom of the screen, is Forest Grove Road then, right? So Betplex Drive, okay, and then Betplex Drive. That's where they're cutting the road now. Are we doing that? Okay. I had one question, too. Ball diamonds and such. What's going to be the plan for lighting?
We have a lighting plan from Musco that has been given to us, and something we'll have to evaluate in-house, take a look at. But, yeah, we have received that plan for the site itself.
Visible from outer space or anything? Or
well, you never know. I mean, if there needs to be an emergency flight route to...
Our ordinance requires that light can shine at only 1 foot candle at the property line. Obviously, there's a big difference between the direct shine of lights and the glow. I would anticipate there'd be some sort of a glow over this thing, but yep. We will make sure that the photometrics do meet our ordinance requirements.
Okay, great.
The light will be directed downwardly.
Kevin's going to shine some light on us here now. Thank you.
That was a softball, and it's. Correct. Musco's doing the lighting design. And I don't know if I mentioned before, Bill and I have talked about this before, in that living in Bettendorf, everybody knows the Crow Creek Park glow. That technology is at least 20, 25 years old, and Musco has obviously progressed a lot. We're expecting this is actually going to be LED, which there's only two other LED facilities done, so we're expecting that. I think where we're at, as they're dialing in on the photometric, is we're exceeding 1 foot candle over the property line about 60 feet, which they're running a new model. I spoke to the Gibneys here, which are neighbors, which I'll address some comments for them in a moment. We're going to install a 6 foot fence around a good deal of the property. We're going to make that section of the fence solid so that we can truncate the angle of the light spillage and hopefully get it to the 1.0 foot candle with that 6 foot fence, or maybe it goes 8 foot. So we're extremely close, so I think that that is within reach here shortly as they run the next group of models. The positioning of the fields helps with that. The poles are shorter, and the LED and the concentration of light. Over at Crow Creek, there might be 20 lights up on one of those poles. We're going to have like four. I mean, it's just drastically different. So we're very close, and with the addition of the fence into the photometric, I think we'll meet the requirement for that. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was more regarding the plat. At the rezoning, Ms. Gibney here spoke about the agricultural use and the ongoing operations of an agricultural neighbor, and we're understanding of that. And I looked, and I had Missman look. Again, I talked to Bill about this. I've seen in previous projects, I know on plats, language that addresses agricultural use, dust, odors, noise, all the things that come with that, and everybody in Iowa knows that. And I'm going to look for that language, but regardless, before the plat gets recorded, we will add language that says that we understand that use is adjacent to us, and there won't be any nuisance requests or
objection,
you know. Right.
Okay.
We're totally fine with that, understand that. We have spoke to them about that. We will record that in some fashion. We'll submit that to staff to review and record with the plat.
Okay, great.
Kevin, I know we had a comment earlier about artificial turf.
Yes.
How of all these different fields, which fields will be artificial? Will they all be?
They are all planned to be artificial turf.
Okay.
There's a chance that two of the soccer fields, probably to the east, would be natural turf.
Okay.
That's going to depend on final budgets of the projects and the cost coming in.
All right. Part of the reason I asked that question, I'm thinking about the reverse. If you have grass, then there may be chemicals applied, but in the artificial turf world, then that's not an issue. So.
Right. It's we were speaking before the meeting. It's more their corn husk at harvest flying onto our ball fields and our potential litter flying onto their cornfield, and so that fence hopefully will keep ours on our side and theirs on their side as much as possible. We do have brooms that we actually have to groom the artificial turf with, so I suppose they can pick up the corn husk if some fly over.
Thank you.
Anyone else from the commission?
Sure. The topic of the day is parking. How are we determining how many parking spaces are needed? And I would add, because we have commercial around the outside that will come later, we can deal with that if we need to later as far as adding more. But in the meantime, how are we determining the number of spots?
That's and we've basically allowed them to go to the experts and similar type developments in the country. Obviously, this is very difficult. You've got a lot of square footage, but on the ball diamond, you're going to have 10 people at one time. You might have a little bit of spectator. You can have some spectator on the inside. So I think you're between 1,400 and 1,500 parking spots.
15-something.
1,550.
Okay.
1,550.
And actually that, from some of the research apparently they've done, that's on the high end of what's provided at most of these other sports facilities.
That's correct.
Great. Okay.
The other thing I would add is that we have right-of-way and public street design from Middle Road all the way over to the west property line. You can mark that, Greg. So if there would be a desire from the Boy Farm to the west to ever tie in, they're obviously allowed to do that.
North of those small lots.
At Plex Drive.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it'll be constructed to city specs. It will be asphalt, so it'll tie into our parking lot and look more a part of our project than a typical city street. But it's to city specs and would be there for future connection if they ever desire.
Great. Thank you.
Scott, another thing to consider that has been discussed both on the acreage that the city is buying and I believe on some of the outlots is there is potential to throw down some temporary surfacing and use that for overflow parking if they ever really see the need. I know we've discussed it with them and I know they're open to that on some of those outlots that front along Forest Grove.
Great.
What's the length of the project development plan?
Time frame.
Time frame.
Kevin,
time frame.
Ballpark time frame. Sorry, I can't stop tonight.
I have to be careful how I answer that since one of the owners is right here, the operator. We are trying our best to get the artificial turf down this fall.
Wow.
So that we can host tournaments in the spring.
Wow.
If you all have kids playing sports, the seasons are longer and earlier, and so we'd like to be able to have kids playing on the fields in April of next year. So we're going to be under the gun to get artificial turf down this fall. As far as the building, we want to get it open as early as we can in spring of 18. Obviously, very weather dependent. The soils out there, which Brent warned us of, are very wet and problematic right now, particularly with the weather we've had of late. So we're struggling a little bit right now, but if we could get a good Iowa drought, we would be okay with that.
Sorry, farmers
don't
want to
hear
Kevin.
That. You make any friends with your farmer neighbor there at that.
Well, no. That's what we're looking for. Sorry.
Yeah, no, appreciate the feedback. So. Anyone else in the commission? Okay, anyone in the audience with regard to this? Yes, sir.
My name is Donald Mott. I live in Mettendorf. I'm River of Life Church, which is on the south side of Forest Grove Road. So I have clarity. My understanding is to this complex, all the entrance and exit is going to be on Middle Road. Is that correct?
Not directly, no. Let's pull that back up and show you.
Greg, don't use that because those three entrances have been condensed to two. There you go.
Is that right beside that house, that one on the east?
No. One of the entrances will line up with Friendship Drive or Friendship Path on the west, the subdivision that's west of your church. And then there's one more entrance that will be between your church and the Middle Road intersection.
Okay, they'll be spread out on both sides.
Correct.
So there'll be three entrances into it, those two coming to Middle Road, to Forest Grove Road,
yep.
And the one going to Middle Road.
Correct.
Okay, I just want to have it clear.
Great, thanks, Donald. Anyone else with regard to this case? Nope. Okay, back to the commission then.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 17-049, subject to staff recommendations.
A second.
OK, Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17049, preliminary plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17049 is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 17-050, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17050, final plat, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17050 is approved.
All right, and the final one, case number, I move that we approve case number 17-051, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second it.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17051, subject to staff recommendations, site plan development. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. 17051 is approved. Okay, Greg.
Mr. Chairman, the final case is a site plan or what will be a bike and brew type establishment right here on Devil's Glen Road. This is Tanglefoot Lane right here to the north. Storage units already in place here. You have parking for the apartment structures at this locale and a car wash right here. This is the site as you would look at it going and looking into the northwest. This is the area right here where that lot is. It's lot one of Hoffman's first edition. This was platted about 10 years ago, and this is the site plan that initially was presented at the time that these structures were put up as storage areas. There have been commercial anticipated for this area at one time. This now has been designated for student parking for overflow for the apartment structures. This is what is being proposed by the developer now, is this structure with parking here and here, and the structure to be located in between this area. This is sort of a blow up of the whole item again, and the structure right here. The landscape plan met our requirements for tree placement and other vegetative placement within the area. And this is how the brewery and bike shop will be structured. And these are the ways in which the parking totals were determined. When we looked at parking on site, the square footage of each of the interior portions of the building. And staff, in reviewing this report, would make a recommendation for approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission?
I have a parking question. As I understand it, it's a one-level building in the front, but two levels in the back.
Correct.
Okay. So if I park in the back, how do I access the business establishments? Is there a back door and then I go upstairs, or do I have to go around to the front?
There'll be a walkway around.
Okay. Yep. So if I park in the back, I've got to walk all the way around, and I've got to go up a grade.
And there's no sidewalk?
Is that a bicycle shop or like a Harley shop? I'm just thinking about noise. You know, you're on Devil's Glen Road.
Right.
Is it for bicycles or for... Okay. It just says bike.
It's a good question.
I don't see any bike parking.
Yeah, that was my next question. Where's the bike parking?
They'll just park.
Is it going to be a combined brewery and bike shop where it's all one, or is it two separate? Okay. No, because I know in my
that can be dangerous.
In like Portland, they do have those.
Oh yeah.
Combined bike and breweries where it's just one store.
And then they're blocked down. They've got the first aid for all the guys. So, yeah.
I was going to ask if you have a DUI ordinance for
biking under the
influence. I don't know.
No, there's boating under the influence, but not biking under the influence.
Could be.
And this looks like there's growing hops on the top of the fence.
Sorry, Scott, what'd you say?
The site plan, it says hop trellis.
Oh, hop trellis along upper edge of retaining wall.
So they're growing their own hops on site? So you got a rabbit joke you want to put in there?
Well, there's just a rabbit and a coyote. Here we go. On a serious note, though. So parking, again, back to that, no handicap requirement on the lower level?
Not if there's not a handicap accessible entrance there.
No.
As long as they meet it for the structure itself in one location. Okay. That's all that matters.
And two will do it for that entire site, huh?
Yeah, it's one per 25, yep. 25 standard stalls.
I don't know. Parking meets the requirements, and I suppose if I'm a bicyclist, then I'm pretty fit, and I should be able to walk around and go up the grade, but it doesn't appear to be the most convenient parking layout to me.
I'm trying to see that small print, but I see 666, is it, up to the grade maybe of 674? About a 12-foot grade across that?
Right. Yeah, I think it's 13 feet.
13?
There's 13 feet floor to floor. Mm-hmm. So you're looking about 12, 11 or 12.
Over what distance are we talking about here? Can't see a dimension on the building, but...
Probably 20. 65 feet wide, roughly.
Okay, so fairly aggressive slope.
This is not unusual for the garden-style buildings that were popular back in the 70s and 80s.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission?
I guess I would also have a question about the adjoining parking that serves the apartment buildings. If there's a concern that that could spill further into this new commercial development and cause some problems there. And I know parking up there with those apartments is sometimes a challenge, and it's very time sensitive.
I think what will happen is if there's obviously people park to convenience. So I can see the parking for this commercial project encroaching more on the apartment parking than vice versa.
Okay. Which is kind of a problem either direction.
It could be. There's not a cross park easement in place. I know that. And obviously, the parking is there for the apartments because it needed it for the count, I think, to be met, Bill, right. And that why they did that. So it's going to happen because people are going to park wherever they want to park. And we're just providing the parking to meet the requirement. We actually reduced the square footage of the mezzanines and things like that in the building to match the parking to get to this point. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's not going to be patrons of the bike shop or microbrew parking over there because people are going to park wherever they want.
And I guess that's the property. That's not really our issue tonight.
Right. I have been talking to the owners of the apartments, and actually in a month or two we're probably going to have a replat that would affect the apartment area and the storage property here as well. So I have been talking to them. We haven't talked about this yet just because I wanted it to come to this point to know that the project was going to happen yet, but I'll be discussing it with them. So.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else on the commission? Not too many left in the audience, and I know who you all are, but I'm going to ask anyway. Anybody out there? Nope. Okay, back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that we would approve case number 17052, subject to staff recommendations.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17052, site development plan, subject to staff recommendations. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Passes. Glad to see it's not another car wash along there. I did have one more question, Kevin. What do you do in your spare time? Because you're building everything in town.
No kidding.
This is unbelievable. Yeah, great problem to have, but thanks. I think that brings us, we're going to drop item 20. Unless you wanted to stay till midnight.
Yeah, if you recall, we had a special meeting set up for about a week and a half ago and could not get a quorum for that, where it was going to be a little workshop to work through this. We had this set up at the office. It's going to be very interactive, trying to figure out how to make that presentation dovetail into this setting, and it really didn't work very well. So Lisa will be getting emails out to you tomorrow to see if you have some availability in the near future to set up another workshop meeting and hopefully get a recommendation for adoption of that ordinance to the city council.
Yeah, no, that would be great. I'm personally looking forward to that session, Bill, and I know you put some work into that to better understand it. And then if somebody at the community, it's going to be open. It's probably not well attended like these, but somebody wants to hear how it's going to work, it'd be a time to come and listen how it's going to fold out. So.
Christine has got her fingerprints all over this, and I'd like her to be able to experience the euphoria of the adoption before she moves on to her
other
position.
Is that drop date again, dead date? Or drop move forward date? I'm sorry, I shouldn't probably say drop date.
June 8th.
June 8th, okay.
Well, then this is our chance to say to you, thank you for your guidance.
Absolutely.
And especially on the zoning changes. And I don't know if we can fly Christine back for to experience that euphoria.
I will be sure to watch the video.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I'll send a Uber for her.
Okay.
No, I think that's a good point, Ann. So this, we won't have you for our next meeting, will we?
Unless it's a special meeting between
unless
now
it's a
and
special
then,
meeting
yes,
for our next regularly. Yes,
that makes it extra special.
Meeting. Well, we do officially thank you for your contribution and assistance. It's been great. So. We're not looking forward to training a new city attorney, but yeah. So, Bill, did you have any updates for us?
Subsequent to your last meeting, the land use amendment and rezoning for the Fountains Fourth was approved by council. The land use and land use amendment and rezoning for the Betplex property was approved by council. The land use and rezoning amendment for lot two of the Springs at Bettendorf, that's the little sixplex on the side of the hill. That was the rezoning and land use was approved by council. We haven't got a final site plan for that yet for you to look at. The final plat and site development plan for the Glenbrook Ridge was approved by the council. Coraline Edition, final plat was approved by the council. Site development plan for the Remax River City Edition was approved by council. So you guys been sending a lot of stuff to council. We as staff have been sending a lot of stuff to you, so we appreciate the good work, and hopefully we can keep this machine moving.
I think you're going to need to annex some more ground into the city, because at the rate we're going, we're going to run out of it, Bill. So
we left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of mind-boggling.
It's unbelievable, but great problem and challenge to have. So appreciate it. So
good step tonight.
Yeah. So again, thank you to the staff as well for I know a lot of work on that downtown matter as well. So with that, we will be adjourned.